Dave and Darren. And another one of our Top 5 Things podcasts. These are the top 5 things that we got done on our morning show.
Know this, a patron-only show is coming up soon.
Yeah, we're going to get that done this week.
Yeah.
And is that for September?
Yeah, that's for September.
We're going to get it done in the month it's supposed to be released?
Don't tell anybody.
I just jinxed it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well. Hey, this is the top 5 things. This is for everyone to enjoy. And we're going to start with which one?
Here? Number one, then.
Number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
James Earl Jones announcing that he's done being Darth Vader. He'd like to not have to do that anymore. And they've worked it out where he doesn't have to do it anymore.
Well, yeah. How much more talking is Darth Vader going to do? Didn't they kill him?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he doesn't talk.
But he comes back as a friendly ghost, right?
Well, he does at the end, yes. Yes, it's...
Impressive.
Right.
Does that make
Most
any sense?
Impressive.
That Darth Vader's a friendly ghost at the end?
Well, because he's been redeemed by his son.
Redeemed. Nothing.
Are you asking me, does it make sense that the angry robot man comes back as a friendly ghost?
Yeah.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker.
But you are not a Jedi yet.
He's 91 years old.
And how much is Darth Vader in the last couple movies? Is he in it at all?
He's in Rogue One.
No, that's not a real movie.
Yeah, it is.
Rogue One?
Yes.
What's Rogue One?
It was a movie that was out in theaters.
No. It was Phantom Menace. And then...
Yes, sir.
I sense something. A presence I've not felt since...
That's not part of the Star Wars stuff.
Yes, it is. Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
No.
Was it? Yeah, Darren.
No, that's not one of the official movies.
Yes, it certainly is.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about.
Do you?
Darren, who are you talking to right now about, and what is the topic?
Okay, so episode one is what?
Episode one's The Phantom Menace.
Episode two.
That is Attack of the Clones.
Episode 3.
That's the Revenge of the Sith.
Episode 4.
A New Hope.
Episode 5.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Episode 6.
That's Return of the Jedi.
Episode 7.
That's The Force Awakens.
Episode 8.
The Last Jedi.
Episode 9.
The Rise of Skywalker.
That's it!
So that's what you're talking about is the Skywalker saga.
Yes.
Right, but there are
Star Wars movies.
There are Star Wars movies that have nothing to do with the Star Wars that you're talking about.
They're not part of the official canon.
Right. No, they are official canon. They're just not part of the Skywalker saga.
They're not like Star Wars movies.
Solo, a Star Wars movie about Han Solo and how he met Chewbacca.
Yeah,
that's a Star Wars movie.
No.
Just because it's not an episode doesn't
it's
mean...
It's not an episode. There you go. It's not an episode. You're having an episode.
Star Wars saga.
You are having an episode.
That says Rogue One is a Star Wars movie. I promise you it is.
It's an offshoot.
That is correct.
Thank you, Darth Vader.
Offshoot.
Thank you. Is Rogue One a Star Wars movie?
No.
Yes.
Thank you. I should just do the show with Darth Vader.
That wouldn't be bad. You should do that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not bad. You want to do it tomorrow?
Tomorrow he's just taking shots at me for getting older.
Your power is a weak old man.
Hey!
You're a champion today. I mean, that's tomorrow.
Right. I don't know.
Tomorrow you're,
good work.
Tomorrow you're a champion, not today.
That's right.
This will be a day long remembered.
I mean,
it has seen the end of Kenobi and will soon see the end of the rebellion.
But I assure you, Darth Vader, agree with me on this. Rogue One, which you're in...
No, not an episode.
...is a Star Wars movie.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Offshoot.
So he's in that, and then there was the Obi-Wan TV show.
What about the Mandalorian?
That's a TV show.
No. Oh.
But he's not in The Mandalorian because The Mandalorian takes place after Return of the Jedi.
So he's a ghost at that point.
Yes.
And he never shows up as a ghost except for at the very end of Return of the Jedi. Does he ever show up as a ghost anywhere else?
No, that's the only time that he's been a Force ghost.
Yeah, and he's got a big smile on his face.
Well, yeah.
And it made me sick.
Well, and then
made me sick that I'm not buying this.
So when you saw the movie,
yeah,
the actor who played Darth Vader under the helmet,
yeah,
that guy got to be the ghost. But now they took him out of the movie and they put the young kid as the ghost. It makes even less sense.
Who's the kid?
Hayden Christensen.
He's a ghost?
Yes. They both play Anakin Skywalker. So they replace the old man, Anakin Skywalker. When you see the movie now, they've got Hayden Christensen as the ghost.
I thought you said he doesn't show up as a ghost.
He does. In Return of the Jedi.
Yes. But that's the only one.
Yeah, but they redid it. Like, you wouldn't recognize it. Because the movie you saw in theaters in 1983...
Well, how can you do that?
It's stupid. It's
how can you go back and put a different guy in there?
That's what they did.
Oh, well, that's...
They thought, you know, this is who Darth Vader is now, so we'll...
Yeah, as a young person, not when he died.
Uh-huh. Exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
You're right about
because
that.
Because then why is it Obi-Wan Kenobi a young person?
Yeah, right.
Obi-Wan Kenobi's an old man.
I mean, why didn't they put him in there from, like... You know,
mm-hmm.
Bridge over the River Kwai,
right?
Whatever,
right? Or
as the soldier,
or Ewan McGregor. Or if Ewan McGregor is the Obi-Wan that deals with that Anakin Skywalker, then why wouldn't you have? And maybe Yoda, instead of being Yoda, should be like Baby Yoda. It just doesn't make any sense.
I don't like it when they mess with stuff like that.
I know it's very important to you that there's some continuity in the Star Wars universe.
James. I would have never known this. I would have never known they did that if you hadn't told me.
So in the Obi-Wan show, Darth Vader shows up and he fights Obi-Wan. And he talks a lot. And it's great to hear James Earl Jones' voice, but the problem is, it is and it isn't. They used artificial intelligence. They basically were able to take all the noises
that
James Earl Jones has ever made, and they turned it into this computer program. And now the computer took James Earl Jones' job, daddy. They give him a watch.
I can't
put him on a shuttle.
I can't believe they never did a Darth Vader GPS.
They did.
They did do it?
Yeah, and he had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Earl Jones is the greatest. My favorite James Earl Jones story is, at the height of Star Wars mania in the 70s, was also the time that CBs ruled the land.
Yes.
And he would just drive around
as
and talk on the CB.
That's fun.
And say that he was Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And then he would show up at truck stops and people would go out of their minds.
Probably, he probably did it for like free breakfast. How much you want to bet he never paid for a meal when he did that?
No.
Not one. Not one time.
He's just constantly...
going in there for a cup of coffee and a piece of pie.
How many pancakes do you want?
No.
No pancakes? Okay. Can I get you some more sugar for that coffee? Are you sweet enough?
It is pointless to resist, my son.
Hey, how come he's getting all the breakfast and we get nothing?
Perhaps you think you're being treated unfairly.
I do! This work where, now, James Earl Jones' voice is being used, even though he's not saying it.
Yeah.
It's a synthetic speech artist.
Are they still paying him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's signed off on this.
You kind of have to.
He's saying, I'm 91 and I don't really want to do this anymore.
Yeah, but you're still going to pay me to use my voice.
The program, he signed off on it. I'm sure they gave him a credit on the TV show, and it sounds great. It sounds like a young James Earl Jones. The program is called ReSpeecher. It's a synthetic speech artist who works on this. The guy's name is Bogdan Belyaev. Now, he works at this company, ReSpeecher, which is in Ukraine. And they had to kind of use James Earl Jones to guide the vocal performance. Say, this is kind of how I think it would sound.
Still working.
Well, right. And all of this work was going on right as the Russians invaded Ukraine. And they had to kind of figure out a way to get this ReSpeecher guy to get the vocals done for Obi-Wan while all of that stuff was going on. But James Earl Jones's family has said that they love how it sounds.
Hmm.
And
so they're okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Jones and his family's approval it gives them, they say, some certainty that they could continue to include Vader in Star Wars projects, you know, even after. I mean, James Earl Jones is 91, so they'll keep doing Darth Vader movies.
Forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, the genius of it, too, is it's just a guy in a suit. So as long as you don't, you know, you just put David Prowse, although he's dead, but you just put some big guy in a suit, have him walk around, and then have this computer do all the vocals, and it's going to be, that'll be great.
Good work.
Thank you.
Number two.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, buddy.
Are the birthday wishes for your championship status,
yes,
are they flooding in on the... on the text line?
People are very
470-23-NACHO.
Yeah, people have been very kind. Yes. Yes. It's nice to be...
Is that already going on?
It's nice to be remembered and thought of. Yes, it has to a degree. Yes. It's been nice.
Well, what do you mean remembered? You're here.
No, it's just nice. The people take time out to wish you a happy birthday is always very... it's very humbling.
It's not humbling.
What's your line about the hairnet?
Yeah, being awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award,
it's
not humbling.
No.
Working your own class reunion with a hairnet on, that's humbling. you need to know the difference in the word.
Right, right. Pooping your pants wearing white slacks is humbling.
That's...
Winning an Academy Award is not.
No.
Right. The sun today is good news for people who like to do hashtag perineum sunning.
This is
a big trend, I guess, on TikTok now. This is your perineum is the area between your pubic bone and your anal cavity.
And you're going to get that tanned up today?
I'm not, but this is a thing that people do.
Is it because it's sunny but cool? Is that why this is good weather for that?
Ideal weather for it, apparently.
I get it. Sunny but cool, because you don't want it...
Right. You don't want it hot. Sizzling down there.
Sizzling?
That's not good.
No, if any part of your body starts to sizzle, you need to get into the shade.
But especially that part.
Yeah, right. That onion paper down there. That's...
Yeah,
you don't need that delicate, delicate skin.
That's the last thing you need, sizzling.
Yeah, that'll cook real quick. It's actually probably the first part to sizzle.
My husband just doesn't bring home the bacon anymore.
Now I bring home the sizzling.
Oh, that's right.
Bacon, think lean. Bring home the sizzling.
No, don't sizzling your underparts.
Don't do that.
Perineum sunning is something that is really catching on. You're supposed to do it for 3 minutes at a time. And they say that if you do this, it creates a surge in energy equivalent to walking around in the sun all day or recharging or having a cup of coffee. That if you just lay down and sun out your
all right, so this isn't for looks.
Your gooch. No, you do some gooch sunning for 3 minutes, and it's just like having a cup of coffee.
Couldn't you just have a cup of coffee?
Well, that's what I do.
Do as I do.
Hashtag perineum sunning is currently getting
your butt out of the air.
2.7 million views on TikToks.
Oh, I bet it does.
Why are so many people spreading their legs and allowing the sun to blast UV directly into their butts? One TikTok user and regular sunner based in New York says, quote, "It honestly feels really good to have the warmth of the sun shining down there. It's a feeling you can't really describe unless you experience it. It's like the sunlight fills your being from the bottom up." This guy's mind and body were exposed to the joys of perineum sunning while living in India and spending hours in the sun practicing yoga. Quote, "When coming back home to stay in Pennsylvania, I would go out into the sun with my yoga mat completely naked and do my practices for 2 to 3 hours.
The Pennsylvania Dutch frown on this sort of thing.
Certain poses mean the entire body is exposed, such as a headstand or a happy baby pose. Oh, I'm not really intentionally going out just to sun my anus. It's more about being free." They say sunburn's not something that they worry about because I live a lifestyle and eat foods that protect my skin from the inside out. People might scoff at this, but a phrase that I like to say is, the sun burns you for your sins. The reason people get burnt is because A, they simply don't expose themselves to the sun often enough, so they haven't built a tolerance, and B, they live such a toxic lifestyle that their blood is toxic and out of tune with nature, so it reacts to the sun, creating a burn.
I don't know that that's true.
I intentionally live and eat in such a way that I can be in the sun for hours without sunscreen and not get burnt. Yeah, that is actual nonsense.
Yeah, I think,
every word of that is nonsense.
I think you're lying to yourself.
Sunburn has not been proven to be caused by a toxic lifestyle.
Toxic blood.
No, not a thing. You should not be harvesting solar energy with your butt.
You're telling yourself something you want to believe, which I get is very popular these days, but it's not true.
There's a doctor who's warning against doing this, and I think this makes the most sense. Dr. Karan Raj says, quote, the perineum is an area of thin tissue between your back passage
onion paper.
And your genitals. And the reason it's called the area where your sun don't shine is because biology and evolution made sure that it was hidden away.
Right. How about that for some facts?
Right. Like, if you want to get into whole being natural, nature intended that part of your body not to get any UV.
Uh-huh.
That's like the design of either evolution or a divine creator, whatever you want to call it. It's not something you should be doing. Rays from the sun can increase the risk of burning, irritation, and skin cancers.
No, it's the youngest part of your body. And it's intentionally that way.
Yeah, don't do it. It's not a good idea.
Don't fool Mother Nature.
It's not nice. Someone says here, the benefits have been wild. It's like having a cup of coffee in the morning. Right, you know what else is like having a cup of coffee in the morning?
This cup of coffee, which for the love
the best
of,
part of waking
God,
up.
How can I drink a cup of coffee without getting it all over me?
Oh, yeah, you spilled a little bit, did you?
Got some on my pants.
Oh, no. Our energy levels go up and we feel recharged and ready for the day, not to mention the sexual benefits of doing this together. It heightens our sexual drive, and being exposed like that together brings us closer than ever. We're so much more comfortable with each other and relaxed about our bodies being free and open to one another.
So what you're saying is taking your pants off outside makes you horny.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to gooch your... You don't have to sun your gooch to have a... You just take your pants off and see what happens. I don't know you need to be outside doing that.
Well, maybe that's where the sun is.
Yeah, crack a window open.
Am I getting it? Yeah, crawl up there on the sill like a cat.
So this is how they do it. They just lay down on their backs, and then they open their legs up like... you got to like hold yourself open? This just seems like a bad idea all around. This is not something you should try, according to anyone with a medical degree.
Got to be careful that a squirrel doesn't show up and try to store some nuts.
Or is that what they're going for? I don't know. We need to take
it's going to be a long winter.
Number three.
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 Kelly Ripa has a book out today.
Uh-huh.
The Kelly Ripa book, it's called... Live. It's called Livewire, Long-Winded Short Stories. And she talks about her life.
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of deep thinking in that one.
Well, here's the thing. The joke that we've done for years is that Regis was kind of mean to Kelly Ripa. And
well, he saw her on Dance Party USA.
Yes.
And thought she was a dog.
They did the show for 10 years.
Together, yeah.
Together. Between 2001 and 2011, Kelly Ripa co-hosted Live with Regis and Kelly. I guess I didn't realize. I mean, she's been doing this for 21 years?
Sure.
Wow. She says there were good days and there were bad days. Quote.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works.
Quote. I don't want to feel like I'm slamming anyone or that I'm being disrespectful, but I also want people to know it was not a cakewalk. She says, it took years to earn my place there and earn things that are routinely given to the men I worked with, including an office and a place to put my computer. Following the departure of Philbin's former co-host, Kathy Lee Giffen.
Gifford.
The Gipper.
The Giffen. She's a griffin.
Following the departure of Philbin's former co-host, Kathy Lee Gifford, Ripa's agent called her with an offer to be the co-host. By that time, she'd already served as a guest co-host three times.
Why couldn't she have Kathy Lee's office?
I don't know that Kathy Lee had one. That's a good question. Where do I put my computer? You don't need a computer, doll.
It's a laptop.
Just sit up there and smile next to Reej. So she had co-hosted three times and was told repeatedly that they were not looking for a permanent replacement.
Mm-hmm.
The offer came from the agent. There was a warning, Ripa says. Quote, they want you to know who your boss is. She's referring to Regis.
And quote, that's Regis.
It was very ominous, and it did not feel good. Ripa recalls in the book an exchange with Regis, noting that the show didn't want her, quote, bringing an entourage. She says, quote, I came with hair and makeup. It was not an unusual thing for people on a television show to show up with. Moments before she walked on stage, Regis greeted her and executive producer Gelman with, quote, uh-oh, Gelman, it's got an entourage. She says, I felt horrible. He was probably trying to be funny, but at the same time, it felt like a pile-on. I understand that probably he didn't want a co-host, but the network wanted me to be the co-host, and I didn't think I should pass up that opportunity. I don't think it was fair to him, but it was also not fair to me. Was Regis's plan to just do the show by himself? Everybody, welcome to the show. I'm just going to sit here and talk by myself. Like myself.
I'm going to do like, it with a split screen.
Like a lunatic. Despite the tough times, Kelly Ripa looks back at her time with Philbin, who died in July of 2020, at the age of 88, with fondness. She says, off camera and outside of that building, it was a different thing. The handful of times we spent together, I so enjoyed. We went to the same resort once on vacation, and he came to a dinner I hosted. One of my favorite nights of my life. I never laughed so hard.
Now, was she the co-host, or was it Kathy Lee when the guy came on and tried to bust all those watermelons with his head?
I have to say that was her, because you and I were doing a show together when that happened.
Yeah.
And if she took over in 2001.
Okay, yeah. All right. Then it was.
That was...
Stop him, Gelman!
The best. This guy came on live with Regis and Kelly, and he was going to set a world record.
He thought he was
going to
bust like 50 watermelons using just his head. He couldn't even open one.
He was going to set the world record for shattering watermelons with his forehead. And he just kept slamming
into what
appeared to be a boulder painted to look like a watermelon.
I think what happened was they picked the watermelons too soon. They weren't ripe. They were just too green.
That's it. That's
Stop him, Gelman. I'm gonna jump out a window.
And this guy wouldn't give up.
He wouldn't quit.
Because he was on national television. And he just kept slamming his head, and Regis was like, oh, no, this is, no, Gelman, get him off, Gelman, oh, this is the best. Well, it's out today if you're interested in reading the Kelly Ripa book. I mean, she's got to ask for a place to put a computer. She's got a bunch of stories about... the time she saved a woman's life with Richard Gere at Jimmy Buffett's house. It's not really a...
Did you say Richard Keel?
Richard Gere.
Oh.
Richard Gere would be a better story.
Richard Gere. It was Jaws and I.
She says, I think there's an assumption that I just woke up one day and went into my fancy job, and then everything was an easy path, and it was all handed to me. And I think this book dispels that. Instead of looking at one aspect of a canvas, it's zooming out and looking at the wider picture. You were told, she says in an interview, that your hiring was not Regis's choice to make.
Now, she says that everybody thought that it was easy.
Uh-huh.
I really didn't think about it at all.
Never crossed your mind?
I just didn't. I didn't put any thought into it. I'm sorry. I'm going to be honest here. I'm always honest.
She says, I wanted an office, and I was told they were holding the office that had been vacated for the new guy.
And who's the new guy?
And I said, that's not acceptable. That's not okay. Meanwhile, they didn't have a new guy. I was the new guy. I fought for and got an office. But it's something I've never seen any man I've worked with have to do. So it was that scenario in mind where I wrote that with seniority, that's a masculine word because I couldn't achieve it. Anything I had done before did not count as seniority. That was a tough pill to swallow. Yeah. Well, that is. I mean, that's terrible. If there was an empty office and she's the co-host, give her the office.
Seems to make sense.
Did they think they were going to replace her eventually with another guy to sit with Regis? Who's going to watch that show? Regis and another guy? Anyway, we were watching the Notre Dame game, you and I. Yeah, we were, Regis. It was great. It was great. They won by 7 points. I couldn't believe it, Regis. I couldn't believe it either.
It's Regis and Regis.
Anyway, they had me cloned, and you're watching.
That's right.
Live with Regi. That's the
I'm
plural.
More sheep than Regis.
There's two of us now. God forbid there be a woman on the show. Ooh, ick. I don't like girls. Me Woof. Neither. Look at this one, dancing as a teenager on a Philadelphia TV show. Gross! I know, right?
There's no reason they couldn't have done that.
Sure, just, yeah, I mean.
Just a split screen.
Yeah, if you can have two Peter Bradys on the Brady Bunch, you could certainly have figured out a way to get two Regises. Uh-huh. If you're going to offer this job to this woman and then just treat her terribly, just have Regis do his dream job of just doing the show with Regis on a tape delay. It might have been a better show.
I'm Regis West Coast.
Tell me what you think about this, Regis. Did you see this in the paper? Did you see this? I did see it, Regis. I'm you. They're just arguing about. Anyway, had an interesting weekend. Joy and I went up to the Hamptons. I know! I was there, too!
I totally did her!
Wait a minute. That's my wife you're talking about, you son of a... They just come to blows over which one does a better job satisfying Joy Philbin.
Regis beating up Regis.
It's Regis v. Regis.
And they're both hair pullers. They don't do as much punching as they just grab each other's hair. They're just yanking on it. You quit. I'll quit when you quit.
Say, Uncle, you. Welcome to Live.
Easy. With... You're going to pull a clump out.
Anyway, welcome to Live with Regis and Regis. I caught this son of a bitch in bed with my wife, and now I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes kicking him in the nuts. Not if I kick you first. That would be a much better show.
Yeah, just hair pulling and clawing.
Quit scratching me. That's not fair. Gelman, he's tickling me.
And then they just get into a tickle
it
fight.
It just becomes a full-on Regis tickle fight. He's doing snicker snack on top of him.
Uh-huh.
Say I'm the king. Say I'm the king.
Number four.
Story of a jilted bride who went ahead and had the wedding anyway. She got stood up by her would-be husband.
But let's go ahead and have the celebration?
Yeah.
Can't you get some of your money back?
I mean, if it's the day of, I doubt
not.
It.
Maybe not. Probably not,
if it's
I suppose.
Day of, man.
Yeah, you're not getting any money back, I suppose.
She was all ready to go, had all of her loved ones around
what?
Her.
Just consider it a close call.
Right.
Just like, that was close.
Yeah, boy, but you know, the thing is, though, Don't say that to her the day of.
I would.
Yeah.
Consider this a blessing.
No doubt.
It was a close call. This wasn't going to work out, clearly.
Jilted bride who enjoyed her wedding day despite being stood up by her would-be husband, sharing details of the heartbreaking call in which she learned she'd been left at the altar.
Ooh, oh, no. Boy.
She was surrounded by loved ones despite suffering what must have been intense heartbreak. She was supported by her bridal party and family and went ahead with the wedding entrance, the meal, the speeches, the dances, and even posed for professional photos without the groom.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about doing that.
I mean,
I don't know that you need to do the dollar. Well, maybe.
Do the dollar dance.
Maybe do the dollar dance.
And I'm on the market.
Yes, I am. If anybody wants to give me more than a dollar, I think you know where this is going.
Give him an extra dollar.
That's right. Someone gave me $100.
She says,
make it a dollar.
Yes, yes, sir.
Place another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar.
She says that there was no clue that this was coming.
Huh.
She says, I wish there were signs that this was going to happen. Because then I would have a reason to back up this decision, but there wasn't.
Where did this take place?
This is in Wales.
In Wales.
Yeah.
Okay.
She says, I wish there were signs that this would happen because then I'd have a reason to back up this decision, but there wasn't. No relationship is perfect, but I honestly did think we were each other's person. His dad called me, and he said, I'm sorry. He's safe, but he's 4 hours away. And we had
Who cares if he's safe?
We had an hour to get married. Safe? That seems like a weird
You're not thing. Safe anymore.
I can be safe when I get my hands on him.
You're not safe. Forever.
The
talk about someone who's got a grudge and is coming your way 50 years from now.
The newspapers got a hold of him, and his only comment was, I don't want to talk about this, which is probably the right thing to do.
That's a good quote.
Yeah. On her big day, Kaylee entered the party singing along to Lizzo's Good as Hell with her bridal party. Apparently, when it's time to cut...
What was that again?
Good as Hell. It's a anthem.
But what happened, apparently?
She She entered the party singing along to Lizzo's Good as Hell with her bridal party. And then when it was time to cut the cake, she just punched off the top tier of the wedding cake.
Nice.
Just as hard as she could. Spent her first dance with the groomsmen, who were her brothers.
I'm going to cut the cake and cut the cheese. What do you think of that?
Just grabs the microphone and puts it right in her butt. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Keep it classy.
I can't imagine why I got stood up.
I don't have a clue.
She now lives alone with no explanation from her ex and a honeymoon that's been canceled. See, I'd go ahead and do the honeymoon. I wouldn't do any of the wedding nonsense.
And certainly depending on if he or his family paid for any of it.
Oh, right.
Traditionally,
the bride's family pays for this
Not
stuff,
necessarily
right?
the honeymoon.
Well, yeah, right. She's coming to terms with what happened and is pleased that she still had the party. So the money and all the effort didn't go to waste. Her friends have rallied around her, bravely leaving her side and setting up a GoFundMe page.
I don't know about that.
Barely leaving her side, not bravely leaving her side. Barely leaving her side and setting up a GoFundMe page to try and recoup some of the money spent on the day.
I don't know
if that's any of my business.
That's really none of my doing.
No, there are people with much bigger issues than had a party for themselves.
Yeah, paying for a party that...
Mm-hmm. You know. She says, I last saw the groom around 4 o'clock in the afternoon the day before the wedding, and I haven't heard from him since.
I bet.
We've tried to reach out to him, but I've had no response from him, no reason why. I've had no explanation. It's not that I even want one now, because it's too far along the line. It was an absolute shock. I had no indication he was going to do this. But seeing my girls distraught as well made me want to turn the day around. I didn't want to remember the day as complete sadness. Wow. She says it didn't feel like real life. It's like a soap opera. There were so many special moments, like my wedding entrance.
Is this real life?
The first dance. And punching the wedding cake. Is that something they do over there? Do they punch the wedding cake? I read punch the wedding cake and I just assumed she was furious. Do they do that in Wales? Instead maybe, of cutting the cake, do they punch the wedding cake?
And maybe that's a tradition where they just, because you got like the bride and groom up on top of the cake.
Right.
Maybe the tradition there is to just knock that off the cake. Like, we did it. I don't know.
The night before the wedding, Kaylee stayed in an Airbnb celebrating with her bridesmaids, whilst the groom and his groomsmen stayed in an RV near the venue. She says the groom and I had already agreed not to speak the night before the wedding anyway.
So that was his out.
So I didn't know what was happening on his end. I didn't have a clue. I was in complete bliss, unknown blitz, she says. But unbeknownst to Kaylee, the groom snuck out of the RV that night and never returned, leaving the groomsmen to contact the bridal party with the dreadful news. She says that we woke up at 6:15 with the makeup artist showing up, had our breakfast together, and then we started to get ready. And one of the groomsmen contacted my best friend to say the groom was gone and the bridal party hid my phone so they could figure out the best way to tell me and I wouldn't find out from someone else. They wanted to make sure he was definitely gone before they panicked me. I found my phone and saw that I had missed a call from his mother. So I called her back and she was crying and told me he'd gone for a drive in the early hours of the morning and he was gone. At that point, I wasn't nervous. I was still quite hopeful. As throughout our relationship, he sometimes goes for a walk or a drive to go clear his head when he's nervous.
Uh-huh.
For a couple of hours, I was saying, no, he'll show up.
Yeah, he'll
I was
fine.
Reassuring the girls because I honestly believe, hand on my heart, that he was going to be there.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
I asked the girls, his family, and the groomsmen to continue getting ready because I honestly believe he was going to be there. At around 11 a.m., Kaylee had just set to have her hair done with her makeup all finished when she spoke to the groom's dad on the phone, who had told her that her partner had been in touch and he would not be attending the wedding. Oh, no. Once I told my parents, the hairdresser, and the videographer, that's when I had to tell myself that it wasn't going to happen. As a joke, the videographer said, why don't you carry on, girls? You've spent all this money. You're not getting it back.
You're not getting my money back. You might as well carry on.
Hint,
that's
hint.
Right off the bat. Why not carry on? You're not getting the money back.
Not from me.
Not from me, and I have to imagine not from anyone.
And this is me on videotape telling you you're not getting a refund.
Yes, and this
is... This is how your movie's going to start.
Yeah, this counts.
Kaylee's bridal party called the groomsmen and told them to head up to the wedding venue where they would carry on with the day regardless of the groom showing up. Okay, if this were me, if I was standing up for a guy and he bailed on the wedding, I wouldn't go to the wedding. That seems like a bad friend. Like, I don't, whatever his reasons are, man, he ain't there, I ain't there.
This just opens up a Saturday for me.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Well, it looks like somebody's going to be enjoying some time watching some college football.
Apparently, I will be watching college football, maybe playing the Powerball.
Apparently.
Groom didn't show up. I was scared half to death. I've never been at a jilted wedding before.
No, never been. This is
my
like...
my whole life, live television.
This is like live TV.
Apparently.
Now it got all gloomy. We start talking about this jilted bride.
We affect the weather with our intention. It's
weather
true.
Machine to rule the world.
Oh, okay. I had told you originally that she hadn't heard from the groom.
Yeah.
I do have audio here.
Yeah.
The groom explained why he didn't show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a joke, son.
What's that?
No. The groom explained why he didn't show up for the wedding.
Uh-huh.
And he's from Wales, so it may be hard to understand him.
Okay.
But he says here.
I don't have no money, and besides, it's too hot in here.
Well, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, no, you can't get married.
Dressed up in one of those monkey suits.
Yeah, it's so hot.
Gosh, it's just so tight around my neck.
She says, we were doing things off the cuff. It was based on instinct, and we just went with it. I still wanted photos of all the groomsmen and bridesmaids.
Why? Because
they looked absolutely incredible.
Just do headshots then.
I would say just go around and take pictures of the garden or something. Maybe I could use those.
Yeah.
She says, I was never going to make a speech, but I wanted to thank everyone for staying because they didn't have to. It was a very awkward situation for them to be in, but they all stayed. Yeah, I would bail. Sorry. Sorry, you're sweet. You know, you probably dodged a bullet, but my name is Paul, and this is between y'all. She says, everybody kept saying sorry to me, but I wanted that to stop. They hadn't chosen that path. They chose to stay, so let's celebrate that. The photo booth had originally displayed Mr. and Mrs. with what would have been the couple's married name, but it was quickly replaced with a sign that just read, Kaylee Shindig. And rather than sharing her first dance with the groom, she danced with her dad to Dolly Parton's Love You to the Moon and Back.
Oh, boy.
She said, I always dreamed of dancing with my dad at my wedding.
Not like this. He's not like
he's
this.
He's 71, and I always had the fear that he and my mom wouldn't be at my wedding, so I wanted to have my dance with him. My four brothers and the groomsmen joined in because I wanted to thank them for staying. Yeah, I mean, that's great. That's very supportive. I don't have to go to your next wedding, though, right? Because well, I went to the one that you did by yourself. 71's
not that old. That's my fake age.
Yeah.
No offense. No pun intended.
Number five.
Darren, I have some people who are going to strangers on the internet wondering if they're in the wrong. I'll get started with this one. Am I a jerk for not attending my engagement dinner that my future in-laws threw after my fiance hid my engagement ring?
Give that to me again.
Let me just read this. My fiance proposed to me 28 days ago.
Uh-huh.
He's got this habit of joking around and pulling pranks from time to time.
Yeah.
It bothers me sometimes, but I try to have patience. His family wanted to throw us an engagement party at a restaurant.
Okay.
I heard his mom talk about how expensive the place was and how much money they paid for reservations, so this clearly was a huge deal for them. My fiance and I were getting ready, and I noticed my engagement ring wasn't where I left it before I entered the shower. I freaked out and looked for it everywhere. I asked my fiance about it, and he said he didn't see it. I freaked out and was running out of time for the party, and he just sat there watching me, losing my mind trying to find it,
yeah,
to the point where I started crying because without the ring, I couldn't show up to an engagement party.
Sure.
I kept thinking about what his family would say and how they'd think I was irresponsible to lose the ring that is somewhat expensive. I gave up and sat down and just cried in frustration. The next thing I knew, my fiancé was standing in front of me laughing with his hand extended to me with the ring in it.
Look.
I asked where he found it, and he could barely speak and say he hid it last minute before the party as a prank. I was in shock.
I can't even talk. That's so funny.
He casually told me to get ready so we could get there in time, and I just blew up on him and started yelling, saying he hid the ring and made me freak out. This was 2 hours of me freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Almost made me miss the party, and he was like, relax, it was a prank, okay? Don't make a big deal out of it and ruin the evening. I told him, you know what? I'm not going to the party.
And I'm not going to marry you.
And when your family asks, tell them why, because you hid the ring. He freaked out and started begging me to let it go and just go with him. But I refused. I went into the bedroom, took my medication, and stayed there. He lost it and kept saying that I blew this out of proportion and that I ruined my own party and cost his family big bucks and disrespected them by not attending. His family found out what happened and they were mad at him, but also me, for choosing not to attend and not getting over it. But I was in a horrible state emotionally, and I could not handle being in a public place after what happened. So am I a jerk for choosing not to go after he hid the ring?
No, I would tell him that not going was a hilarious prank. And you need to get over it. That's what I'd tell him.
That's perfect.
What? That's a hilarious... I can't believe it. Oh,
I thought it was.
I thought that was hilarious when I didn't show up. What a prank.
Am I a jerk for kicking my wife out of the car on the way to my friend's wedding after I discovered she was wearing a white dress underneath her blue dress.
What is she doing?
I have a close friend, Tom. He got married to his wife, Lauren, a couple of days ago. My wife, Hannah, has never gotten along with Lauren. There's no reason in particular, but Hannah claims that Lauren is full of herself and has fake beauty. I tried to get to the bottom of why they don't get along, but to no avail. When Hannah and I attended the engagement party, she and Lauren ended up getting into an argument because Hannah called Lauren controlling when Lauren jokingly said that she picked Tom's suit for the occasion. We had to leave early, but Tom was incredibly understanding of the situation. We were invited to the wedding, and Hannah casually showed me a white dress she said she was going to wear. I snapped and told her that a white dress was off limits, but she threw a fit, saying I get zero say in what she would wear. I told her if I saw her wearing this dress that I wouldn't take her with me to the wedding. Period. She sulked, but then showed me a blue dress that she decided to wear to the wedding.
What about this one?
I waited on her in the car while she was getting ready. She wore the blue dress like she said and had a jacket cover her upper body. As I was driving, I brought up the white dress issue and why I didn't agree on seeing and it's not acceptable to wear white when you're not the bride. But she just smiled and said that she will prove to me that it was perfectly all right to do that.
I'll prove it.
I was puzzled, and I looked at her, and that's when I caught a glimpse of a white strap on her shoulder. I asked if she was wearing the white dress underneath the blue dress, and she denied it. I stopped the car and told her to take off the jacket. She refused, but I insisted. She took it off.
What do you got under there?
Of the white dress were showing underneath the blue dress. Apparently,
what?
She...
What? What's that?
Apparently. Apparently, she was planning on taking off the blue dress when she got there. But I lost it on her and told her to get out of the car. She started arguing, but I didn't let her finish. And I told her that was pathetic and repeatedly told her to just get out. She got out crying, and I ended up going to the wedding by myself. And she was waiting for me at home. When I got home, she started arguing again, calling me a jerk for kicking her out of the car and for making her miss the wedding and for trying to control what she wears. It got to be too much, and I had to go upstairs and just stay there. Well, it's been a few days, and she's giving me the silent treatment, saying I cared more about Lauren's feelings than hers to treat her the way that I did. So am I the jerk here?
What's with you people?
Yeah, that's...
That sounds like a lot of effort for no reason.
It really does. One more. This is somebody writing to the Ask a Manager column. These are people that have work-related issues where they're wondering if they're in the wrong. The headline says it all here. Should I talk to my colleagues after I accidentally shared a paragraph of original erotica in a work chat?
What?
I write erotica as a hobby.
Uh-huh.
The other day I was in a Zoom meeting with my boss and several coworkers. My boss didn't have the link handy for a shared document that we were discussing and asked someone to put the link into the chat.
Yeah.
I copied and pasted the link and quickly sent the message, except the link had not copied, and instead I sent everyone the last thing on my clipboard, which was a rather graphic paragraph from some erotica I was writing the previous time. Needless to say, I was mortified. And in the moment, I said something like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, that's not what I meant to send. And the meeting proceeded as if nothing had happened, for which I was very grateful. I haven't said anything to my boss or my coworkers about it. My question is, do I need to even address it? For context, I'm not particularly close with these coworkers because we're only working together for this project, which is new. Our work is related to progressive politics, so I don't think anyone on the call is especially puritanical. And there wasn't anything particularly offensive in the paragraph I sent, although it was graphic and definitely not safe for work. I would rather really not say anything. I feel awkward enough as it is, but I'm not sure what the professional thing is to do here.
I would say that if you're mortified by what you wrote, you must be pretty good at it. If you're mortified, take that as a compliment.
If what you wrote was so shocking
that you're mortified by it, the person who wrote it, consider yourself very successful.
You've done it.
Then you've done it.
You have cracked the code.
Right.
Oh, no, this is far too graphic. Oh, no, I can't believe anyone other than me is reading this.
Was your intention for no one to ever read it?
Oh, no. Yeah, how does that work when that's your hobby?
I mean, you would
probably just publish that stuff anonymously, right?
I would say success.
You did it. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, sir.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things. We thank you for downloading it and subscribing to it. And obviously you've listened to it, so you've done all the things that we ask. Proud of you. Until we get a chance to do it for
you. Do as we say, not as we do.
Until we get a chance to do this again for you. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Great show, everybody. Great show.
Okay, bye. Stop making noise.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.